Yoga Mayam. To protect the Yadus, his personal devotees, from Kamsa's attack, the personality of Godhead Vishvatma, the supreme soul of everyone, ordered Yogamaya as follows. Purport. The Lord Bhagavan Api Vishvatma Viditva Kamsajang Bhayam are commented upon by Srila Sanatan Goswami. Bhagavan Svayam is Krishna. Krishna's to Bhagavan Svayam. He is Vishvatma, the original super soul of everyone. Because his plenary portion expands as a super soul. I just see it. Is there a translation into the German language? No. Sag mal, Duschka, kannst du vom Englischen ins Deutsche übersetzen oder ist das zu viel Trapezkunst? Das ist aber. Halbrier, du kannst ja kein Englisch verstehen, richtig? Auf einmal? Ja, ich verstehe. Gut. Eine kleine Sekunde. Was machst du denn da für eine Übersetzung, Selim, ins Jugoslawische? Du könntest ins Deutsche. Du bist, glaube ich, versiert, oder? Ja. Gut. Diese Mataji ist sehr talentiert für Übersetzung. Jetzt bräuchtest du allerdings noch ein deutsches Buch, um das... Gut. Du bist gut situiert, aber Birke, ja, muss man sehen, dass du ausreichend nah dran bist. So, gut. Hast du jetzt ein deutsches Buch? Ja. Gut, soll ich dir noch sagen, wo das ist, oder hast du es schon aufgeschlagen? Gut. Wir sind jetzt hier, ja, im fünften Satz so ungefähr. Lies doch einfach alles in Deutsch vor. Du holst mich bestimmt ein. Ich bin heute noch immer ein bisschen langsam. So. Krishna is Vishvatma, the original super soul of everyone, because his plenary portion expands as a super soul. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Chetragyam chapimang vidhi sarva chetreshu bharata. Lord Krishna is the Chetragya, or super soul, of all living entities. He is the original source of all expansions of the personality of Godhead. There are hundreds and thousands of plenary expansions of Vishnu, such as Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, and Vasudev. But here in this material world, the Vishvatma, the Supersoul for all living entities, is Chirudakashayi Vishnu. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Ishvara Sarvabhutanam Hridayesho Junatishtati. The Supreme Lord is situated in the heart of all living entities, O Arjuna. Krishna is actually Vishvatma by his plenary expansion as Vishnu Tattva. Yet because of his affection for his devotees, he acts as super soul to give them directions. Savasya chaham ridisani vishto matas mritya jnanam apohanam cha. The affairs of the super soul pertain to Chirudakashayi Vishnu, but Krishna took compassion on Devaki, his devotee, because he understood her fear of Kamsa's persecution. A pure devotee is always fearful of material existence. No one knows what will happen next, for one may have to change his body at any moment. Tathādehāntara praptihi. Knowing this fact, a pure devotee acts in such a way that he will not have his life spoiled by being obliged to accept another body and undergo the tribulations of material existence. This is Payam, or fear. Vayam dvitya binivesata hasyat. This fear is due to material existence. Properly speaking, everyone should always be alert and fearful of material existence. But although everyone is prone to be affected by the ignorance of material existence, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is always alert to the protection of his devotees. Krishna is so kind and affectionate toward his devotees that he helps them by giving them the intelligence by which to exist in this material world without forgetting him even for a moment. The Lord says, Tesham evanukampartam aham agyanajam tamaha nashayam yatma bhavasto jnanadipena basvata. Out of compassion for them, I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. The word yoga means link. Any system of yoga is an attempt to reconnect our broken relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are different types of yoga, of which Bhakti Yoga is the best. In other yoga systems, one must undergo various processes before attaining perfection. But Bhakti Yoga is direct. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Yoginam api sarvesham matkatinam taratmana shadavam bhajate yomam sami yukta tamo mataha. Of all yogis, he who always abides in me with great faith, worshipping me in transcendental loving service, is most intimately united with me in yoga, and he is the highest of all. For the Bhakti Yogi, a human body is guaranteed in his next existence, as stated by Lord Krishna, Shuchinam Shimatam Gehe Yoga Brashto Bijayate. Yoga Maya is the spiritual potency of the Lord. Out of affection for his devotees, the Lord always stays in spiritual touch with them, although otherwise his Maya potency is so strong that she bewilders even exalted demigods like Brahma. Therefore the Lord's potency is called Yoga Maya. Since the Lord is Vishvatma, he immediately ordered Yoga Maya to give protection to Devaki. Nama Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Simada Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskatyade Shatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sierveta Gavadha Sivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. To protect the Yadus, his personal devotees, from Kamsa's attack, the Personality of Godhead Vishvatma, the Supreme Soul of everyone, ordered Yoga Maya as follows. This verse describes a philosophical subject called Poshanam, or protection of the Lord. The Lord has many different ways how he protects his devotees. He can protect them from physical danger by arranging through his many energies that the dangerous situation becomes solved in favor of the devotees. He can also protect the devotees by coming personally and making an arrangement for his devotee, or he can protect his devotee by giving him the intelligence to solve this problematic situation in this material world. These are three ways how Krishna gives protection to his devotees. We could give examples for all these three ways, and I think it would help. Sometimes devotees who find themselves in the midst of a difficult situation, like a car accident, have noticed how all of a sudden the car turns in a very special way, and things which should not have happened are there, arranged by the energy of the Lord. I know of a few God brothers who were traveling in Sweden with a car. They were in a lonely road following a truck. For 2 hours they couldn't overtake him. Now, because they were in a hurry, they decided, although they couldn't see what would come on the other side of the road, they decided to overtake them, the truck. And then, when they were next to the truck, all of a sudden they saw, since 2 hours, a car coming with full speed towards them. And they saw the car so late, there was no chance to just pull the brakes. So what they did is the driver turned the wheel to the left side. Now, the whole road, it was inside, it was, how do you say in English, you know, dug, so to say, into a mountain. Ich möchte das in Deutsch sagen. Die ganze Straße war eingesprengt worden in einen Berg. So if you would turn to the left, you would just crash against the rock. That would also be dead. Would mean death. So the devotees just started to shout out the name of Krishna and closed their eyes and prepared for the death. They drove and drove and drove and drove and drove, and after a few hundred meters, the car, you know, the driver put the brakes and the car stood. What had happened is that all of a sudden there was a road just in the right angle, so to say, so that the car could, and the car just took that road. The driver didn't see the road, and it was saved. The driver took it, like all the devotees, as an arrangement of Krishna. I heard later they went back to this place and they looked for the road and they couldn't find it any longer. This is one of the examples, and there are many examples which especially devotees who travel have noticed, that the Lord, by making an arrangement through his many energies, protects the devotee. We just had an accident, Gopal and myself, only 1.5 weeks ago, where both of us had the feeling that our car was lifted by his hand and put into security. We just had the feeling. So the second way of protection is when the Lord appears personally, like he did in the form of Nrisimhadev, when he came, when he, the all-pervading Lord, chose to come from outside a pillar to protect his devotee. I think you all know about this, and we will not talk about this here now. And the third way of protecting is when the Lord, who is Vishvatma, this is the word here, the Supreme soul of everyone who is residing within the heart takes the torchlight of knowledge in the heart and drives away the darkness of ignorance from his devotee. This is expressed in the Bhagavad Gita in shlokas like Tesham Evanukam Patam and so on, that the Lord, who is there within the heart, gives the intelligence to the devotee out of compassion for him, and in this way helps him to overcome the obstacles of material existence. I think we here, all of us, and also our dear guests, have made experience this, how in a difficult time of their lives, they felt an inspiration from within the heart, and they saw clearly what had to be done in this situation. This inspiration comes from Krishna, who is there as the super soul within the hearts of everyone, even the animals and all life forms. So the devotee who understands that the Lord is very kind to him takes enthusiastically to the worship of his dear beloved Lord. There is, as you all know, we are here in a kind of lecture series which has been continued over the last few days. There are, I want to explain for those who couldn't hear or the preceding discussions, that there are four extraordinary activities which guarantee the transcendentalist entrance into the kingdom of God. The first activity is to take one's thoughts from the material atmosphere, material life, and focus it on Krishna. One who is always connected by thinking of Krishna is described as the highest of all yogis, because he is no longer connected with the material world, he is connected with the spiritual energy. The second activity is to become to change one's life so that his body, mind and words are only fulfilled with activities in relationship of Krishna. That's a life of a devotee. And the third activity, which we want to explain today, is the worship of Krishna. As we have discussed earlier, it is not easy to think of Krishna always, because our minds are very restless. However, if we develop love for Krishna, then it's very, very easy to think of him, because love is such a force that it drags our mind away from everything else and fixes it firmly to the person or the thing even which we love. You know, one says in this world, obsessed by love. Oder liebesverrückt, oder liebestoll. You know, so, now, as you all know, we are here in Bhakti Yoga, we try to develop love of Godhead. In this third instruction, worship me, the process how to do that is actually given. Then love is not spontaneous, like it is at the beginning. It can come by certain activities, the activities of worship. For instance, here in our temple, we worship Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohan by cooking for them, by dressing them, by praising them in the morning and in the evening. We come together in the temple and praise him. And by all the following different rules and regulations, by doing this, following in a systematic way, the end result is to develop love for Krishna. Now, it's very interesting that if we want to develop love for Krishna by this process, we have to make a paradigm shift. We must not unser Paradigm verändern. This is an interesting subject to talk about. We have to start thinking really of Krishna as the center of our life and not us as the center who worships Krishna. I want to give you a little example, which is very nice to hear. You know, just before the outbreak of the Battle of Kurukshetra, Krishna wanted to come to the Kauravas and he wanted to make peace with them. He wanted to tell them, listen, you have stolen the huge land and the kingdom actually from the Pandavas, now to avoid a war, you should, if you don't want to give them the kingdom back, just give them 5 little villages. There are 5 kings. They need at least 5 little villages to rule. This was Krishna's mission. So as he was coming close to the to the town of the Kauravas, the Kaurava leader Duryodhana made a plan to draw him on his side. In German you would say, ihn über den Tisch zu ziehen. What he did is, he was such a fool that he thought he could bribe heißt bestechen, Krishna. He made on the way many palaces for resting. He built them just resting palaces so that Krishna would feel, oh, he is someone who cares for me. And then he gave him the palace when Krishna finally arrived at Hastinapur, that was the capital. Duryodhana, this foolish leader of the Kaurava, offered him the white marble palace of Dushasan. Now Dushasan was the most sensual person on the earth at that time. He was the wildest of the Kauravas. You know, he was the one who tried to strip Draupadi naked, and you can imagine his palace was just super comfortable. It was hügelig, as you would say in Danish. This Duryodhana said, my dear Krishna, you will get this palace for however long you stay with us, and let us talk tomorrow about political matters. In the evening I want to give you a huge feast. We have engaged the best cooks, so come in the evening, please. Krishna said, I will think about it. So in the evening he went to a little house. It was Vidura's house, the house of his devotee. And Vidura, when he saw Krishna, was so excited that he felt he would have to offer him something to eat. So he took some bananas, his wife took some bananas and peeled them quickly. But because she was so excited, she threw away the fruit, you know, the inside of the banana, the banana fleisch, you say, and offered the peels to him. Jagannath, this gets interesting. Please listen. You are also a cook and you have to listen to this. Maybe you want to. Krishna, it is said, accepted the banana peels. Now in the morning, Sisi Radha Madan Mohan Ki Jai. In the morning, Duryodhana met with Krishna in the assembly hall, and he said,
Where were you? We had cooked this feast for you. There was... We had just engaged all the best cooks. It cost so much money, and you didn't even come. It was just for you. So Krishna smiled, and he said, in order to eat, there have to be... two conditions have to be fulfilled. Either the person who eats has to be hungry, or the person who offers the food has to have love. Now, both of these conditions were not fulfilled, and therefore I couldn't eat. It was not possible. First of all, I am not hungry because I have a transcendental body made from Sachit Ananda Vigraha, full of bliss, eternity, and knowledge. There is no hunger in such a body. And second of all, this condition that the person who offers you something has to have, if he has love and does it out of love, then you feel compelled to eat it. Have you made this experience? You come to somewhere and someone is there and his eyes go, oh, so nice to see you. You must be hungry. And you say that. not really, you know. Oh, sure, you must be hungry, and we have cooked for you such a... we know that you like strawberries and nougat, and here we have just made this for you. Then you just can't say no. Isn't it? Have you made this experience? It is impossible to not eat it. And you have to eat, although you might be full up to the neck, you just feel compelled by the love of the person, you get appetite. Or at least some inspiration to eat, if not appetite. So in exactly the same way, so Krishna said to Duryodhana, because you have no love at all for me, therefore I just couldn't eat. You have to, it is impossible to eat. So this is really the important ingredient when we want to worship Krishna. When we want to worship Krishna, we have to understand that Krishna really is interested not in our mechanical arrangements which we do for him, because after all he's transcendental. Say the right things. certain things we do have to cook, but the real ingredient of the deities of Krishna is our love. That is the real ingredient. If we do not offer this, Krishna won't be really hungry. Krishna becomes hungry when he sees someone has cooked with love. Otherwise, he has no hunger. He has no need to eat something. He is transcendental. So this is the secret when we discuss this verse, or this part, worship me, majajimam. We have to understand that in this worship, or this service of Krishna, our love is the most important point. And I want to make this, because this point is so clear, but at the same time so difficult to understand for a Westerner, I want to just draw your attention a little bit on it. It will take just about 10 more minutes of your time. the thing is, when a devotee starts with Krishna consciousness of his spiritual life, he tends to be a little self-conscious. I am chanting now. I am worshipping now. I am now singing. I am dancing. I remember when I first started the process of Krishna, of chanting on the Japa Mala, I was only meditating about myself, not about Krishna. I was just thinking, oh, now I'm doing this like a real yogi. Wow.
This is really far out, you know. George Harrison also does it, you know. And now I'm up to the level of the most esoteric transcendentalists. And so I felt just very self-conscious. What if my friends see me now? And so on and so forth. I hope my girlfriend doesn't come in the door and find me out here. And so on. This is described by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. At the beginning of sadhana, that means spiritual activities, the concept of I and mine is very strong, and Krishna is very much in the distance for us. That's why at the beginning, if we wouldn't have a pure devotee to offer our little amount of service to, it would be unacceptable actually for the Lord. We have to go through some pure source to actually, so that our offering reaches him. Because in the beginning it is without love, and as we understood, Krishna is only interested in love. He is not interested in arrangements in this world. So, in the Bhagavatam, there is a very interesting lesson about this, how to put really Krishna in the center as you worship him. And that is the story of Prito Maharaj. Just to give you a little insight in the story, Prito wanted to perform 100 yagyas, or sacrifices. Now, he had done 99 sacrifices very successfully. And he wanted to start the 100th sacrifice, for which he needed a horse. You know, for all these sacrifices, horses were required. The presence of the horses were required. So, now, when you do these 100 sacrifices, you become extremely powerful and extremely influential. Indra, the king of heaven, saw that Prito was just about to complete this 100th horse sacrifice, and he became extremely envious. He thought, I must do everything in my power to avoid this. So what he did is, he appeared there at the in the night before the sacrifice, and he stole the horse. And because Indra is a being from a higher planetary system, he knew the art how to travel through the sky without machines. And he took the horse with him like this. In the morning, the horse was missing, and Prito's son saw that, and he was sent by his father to take the horse back. And he was a very good warrior, you could say a mystical warrior. He was able to trace out Indra, and he came to him. And he said, give the horse back, this is the horse of my father, whoever you may be. Indra didn't react, he just fled. So then, the son just took his bow and aimed at Indra. And Indra knew, now I'm in trouble. But he didn't want to give the horse back. So what he did is, he, by his mystical potency, changed his dress into the robes of a sannyasi. And the son looked and said, I can't kill a saint, I can't kill a sannyasi. And he turned around and went away. So at that time there was a saint called Archie, and said, no, this is the beginning of Kali Yuga, where unqualified people will take on the dress of sannyasis for material motives. They will pollute the saintly order of the saints by just dressing as saints, but in their mind they're just interested in sex life and wealth and followers and so on and so forth. You cannot tolerate this, is what Archie said. So the son said, but you are sure I can? He took again his arrow and aimed. And Indra saw, well, this is now for real. If I don't give up the horse now, my tricks don't protect me. He will just start. I can't fight with this son of Prithu. He's so powerful. And he just left the horse there and disappeared. So this was repeated. So the son took the horse back, and then the sacrifice was ready to start again. But Indra came again. He came two times again, and the same thing repeated each other. So finally, Prithu said, this is too much. This Indra, he's just such an envious person. We can't tolerate this any longer. And what he did is, he wanted to go himself, but then the Brahmana said, no, we will take care of Indra. We will just chant mantras, which will drag Indra down into the fire. He will have to burn. This cannot go on. So they started chanting the mantras, and Indra's throne was sucked down to the planet Earth. He was spellbound. He had to enter the fire. Then at the last moment, Brahma said, no. And this is very important why Brahma said no. He said, don't you know the real purpose of worship, of sacrifices? It's not for you, but your fame. It is for the Lord. Therefore, don't be angry at Indra. He has to reap the result of his own aggression. And then, later, Vishnu appeared. He was so satisfied when Prithu did not insist on his 100th yagya, his 100th sacrifice. But then he could say, okay, 99 is enough. If he doesn't want that I become so influential, that's all right. After all, the real purpose of life is not to become influential, but it is to please the Lord. So, at the end, these are two very beautiful verses which the Lord spoke, making clear what is the purpose of real sacrifice and worship. I want to read this to you. It's here. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu continued. My dear King Prithu, when one is situated in his occupational duty and engages in my loving service without motive for material gain, he gradually becomes very satisfied within. And then he told him, in text number 16, here it is. My dear King, I am very captivated by your elevated qualities and excellent behavior, and thus I am very favorably inclined toward you. You may therefore ask from me any benediction you like. One who does not possess elevated qualities and behavior cannot possibly achieve my favor simply by performance of sacrifices. So I read a little slow so that our translator could easily translate this. So this is a very important point in our lives. What we really want to do by our worship of Krishna is to attract the Lord by good qualities. And there are
26 good qualities which every devotee has them in his heart, Krishna will always reside in the heart and never leave him. One is kind to everyone. Second is he does not quarrel with anyone. Third, he is fixed in the absolute truth. Fourth, he is equal to everyone. Fifth, he is faultless, charitable, mild, and so on and so forth. If you are interested to read about these 26 qualities, you can please read Canto 4, Chapter 20, Text Number 16. It's in the purport. It was very nice verse and very nice purport. So this is the real point of worship. Krishna, when he sees a devotee who wants to worship him, he becomes extremely satisfied with that devotee who just wants to do something for him. And he is even ready to protect such a devotee by giving him either the intelligence to practice Krishna consciousness in this life, or by appearing. There are cases where Krishna appears personally, and then by making an arrangement so that the devotee is protected. Good, so this is what we wanted to discuss today. I'm thanking you very, very much. It is a great pleasure to address this day. Now we have only one thing left. Offer your obeisances. And then, that's also an interesting subject. Good. And do you have any questions regarding all of this? Madhavananda. The question is, if the chanting of Hare Krishna also a kind of worship, or is it a form of remembrance? Srila Prabhupada was once asked whether the chanting is service. And he explained, yes, you're offering your time and your energy. This is the meaning of service. So, yes, the chanting of Hare Krishna can be also seen as worship, because you are worshipping Krishna by transcendental sound. You are for worship, the mind is very important. If you worship mindlessly, then it is not real worship. So in the chanting, you try to think of Krishna. You try to hear, at least, or concentrate on the holy name, and then it is worship. But worship is also on the altar, for instance. You can do all your activities in a worshipful way if you think it's just for you, Krishna. And Yudhishthira merged his life as with the three modes, and the three modes with what? Something mystical he did. See, at that time, the Kshatriyas knew about these yoga practices. They're knowing this as a very natural process. For us, it sounds mystical, but for them, it is not at all mystical. This is something which helps them in their life. Just like for you, to drive a car helps you to come to distant places, and it's
not very mystical for you to get in the car and to turn it around and to drive it here and there. So for the Kshatriyas of old, these mystic yoga practices are not at all very difficult. They just know, just like you know to drive a car. For me it is, as a practical example, still extremely mystical how a car can drive so fast. And I cannot imagine myself driving a car. It's just not possible for me. I admire all the car drivers, because this will remain mystical for me to the rest of my life, I suppose. But not for most of the people in our civilization. I just don't think of any of it in any way. So, yes, it's easy to die if you know the mystical process. No pain. It's helpful. But in this particular time, these processes are so difficult that they just don't work. So therefore we don't even take interest to learn them. It's not necessary. Yeah, Hari Priya. Wie kannst du dein Vertrauen in Krishnas Schutz vergrößern? Ich möchte jetzt, weil das schon das dritte Mal eine deutschsprachige Frage ist. This is a German question and I think I will answer it in Deutsch. Wie kann ich, das ist eine sehr gute Frage. Wenn wir eine direkte Erfahrung mit Krishna machen möchten, in Krishnas Schutz, müssen wir uns in eine Situation hineinbegeben, in der Krishna uns seinen Schutz gewähren kann. Die meisten Menschen heutzutage umgeben sich mit Arrangierungen, sodass sie selber sich beschützen wollen. Und machen also Sorgen für alle Fälle, alle Eventualitäten und so weiter und so fort. Und so haben sie immer ihre eigenen Arrangierungen, die fernab sind von gottesbewussten Leben. Ein Devotee jedoch begibt sich ruhig in ein Risiko für Krishna, ist nicht ein blindes Risiko, also das darf nicht missverstanden werden, und kann dann in einer Situation erfahren, wo Krishna ihn beschützt. Ist sehr wichtig, ich will damit nicht sagen, dass man den Schutz des Herrn herausfordern sollte. Man hat mal erzählt von einigen Muslims, ich weiß nicht, ob das jetzt recht ist oder nur eine Polemik. Ich kann es mir aber doch vorstellen, weil ich es von einer Quelle habe, die also nicht, eigentlich kann ich mir das nicht vorstellen, dass der jetzt den Muslims ein also irgendwie ins Hintertreffen geben wollen. Da, sag mal, als die Armeen ausgerüstet wurden mit Fallschirmen und so weiter, wurde den Soldaten nahegelegt, ihre Fallschirme auf alle Fälle gut zu falten, denn nur gut gefaltete Fallschirme öffnen sich, wenn man springt. Aber einige haben dann gesagt, nein, also wenn Allah mich beschützt, dann beschützt er mich. Das hat nichts mit dem Fall der Fallschirme zu tun. Die sind natürlich etwas, wo man Gott zu seinem Diener macht. Das kommt überall vor. Das kann auch bei uns vorkommen, wenn wir nicht vorsichtig sind. Dass wir denken, ja, ich mache jetzt ein Risiko und ich verlasse mich dort auf Krishna. Dann muss er mir ja wohl helfen. Nicht? Das nicht. Es gibt jedoch, wovon ich jetzt heute eben spreche, ist, dass man sich in seinem Dienst tatsächlich bemüht, so gut wie man kann, und Krishna dann in einer dieser exponierten Haltungen, in der man ist, bestimmt erfahren wird. Zum Beispiel gibt es Devotees, die verteilen Literatur auf der Straße zu den Bedingten, zu den zu den Leuten. Und das ist manchmal so, dass man auf der Straße einfach sehr viel Aggressivität vorfindet. Die Menschen werden immer unzufriedener und man merkt das dann. Oder sehr viel Ablehnung auch, nicht, was Spiritualität betrifft. Wir leben nun mal in einer Zeit, die sehr, ja, das ist halt Kali Yoga, mit vielen Nebenerscheinungen. Aber wenn man weiter diese Bemühung tut, wird man meistens merken, wie Krishnas Schutz plötzlich eintrifft, weil man etwas tut für Krishna und dann Krishnas Schutz erfährt. Oder wir haben das erfahren in Serbien, wo wir Programme gemacht haben und mit 5.000 bis 6.000, 7.000 Leuten und in dem Publikum ist natürlich auch Kriegsvolk drin, nicht? Da sind immer Leute, die haben Bomben dabei und so weiter. Und wir dachten aber, es sei ein überschaubares Risiko und haben diese Programme gemacht. Es sind Bomben geworfen worden, Tränengas, aber nur Tränengas, nicht? Das ist nicht so schlimm. Und haben dann aber erfahren, wie Krishna uns vor weiteren Anschlägen bewahrt hat. So, man muss da sehr, sehr vorsichtig sein, dass man ein überschaubares Risiko macht, dass man einen Dienst für Krishna nimmt. Und dann kann man meistens erfahren, wie Krishna Schutz einsetzt. Wenn man aber immer zu Hause bleibt, ängstlich, gefesselt und nichts für Krishna unternimmt, nicht da einmal nach sich bekennt sozusagen zu seinem spirituellen Leben, dann wird man niemals den Schutz des Herrn erfahren können. Es geht um das Echtsein, das Bekennen. Dann wird Krishna einen da auf alle Fälle beschützen, das erlebt man. Es kommt darauf an, dass man sich ein bisschen Krishna hingibt und auf ihn vertraut. Und das heißt nicht, dass wir jetzt als nächstes hier Fallschirmspringen einführen oder ich glaube, du verstehst, was ich ausdrücken möchte. Nur dann kannst du Krishnas Schutz erfahren. Im Devotional Service, wo du wirklich dein Bestes gibst für Krishna. Sonst ist es nicht möglich, weil Krishna sonst sieht, dass du deine eigenen Arrangierungen machst für materielle Sicherheit, so wie es deinen Vorstellungen entspricht. Und ich habe einmal gelesen bei einem Satswarup Maharaj, Krishna-Bewusstsein ist in gewissem Sinne wie ein Abenteuer, wie eine Romanze. Man weiß nicht, was dabei, man gibt Sicherheiten auf. Nicht? Deswegen sagt Krishna, Sarvadamang Parijaja Mangekang Sharanam Vraja, gib alle anderen Dharmas auf und gib dich einfach mir hin. Und er sagt, habt keine Angst, ich beschütze dich. Krishna sagt das vor den Reaktionen von dem eigenen Karma. Ein entschlossener Schritt nach vorne, den sehen wir im Leben von Draupadi. Draupadi sollte entkleidet werden von diesen kriminellen Persönlichkeiten da in einer öffentlichen Versammlung. Sie warf schließlich beide Hände in die Luft und rief laut bei Krishna Zuflucht und Krishna versorgte denn sie mit einem nicht endenden Sari, sodass sie die zogen und zogen, schließlich war dieser Riesenpalast voll mit Stoff, aber sie war noch immer nicht entblößt, also noch immer bekleidet in ansprechender Art und also in angemessener Weise. Das ist ein sehr wichtiger Punkt, Vertrauen zu haben, dass Krishna ein beschützt ist, eines der Symptome der Hingabe. Du kannst dich nicht hingeben so gut, wenn du dieses Vertrauen nicht hast. Es geht nicht. Weil man immer wird für dies gesorgt sein, wird für das gesorgt sein, wenn ich mich jetzt so hingebe und so weiter. Es gibt 6 Symptome der Hingabe und 1 ist das Vertrauen, das an Krishna beschützt. Und das kriegst du dieses Vertrauen durch die Erfahrung, die du bekommst, wenn du dich hingibst, Krishna. Und Krishna lässt seine Devotees nicht im Stich. Also er ist da unglaublich exakt, was ein Wort betrifft, seine Devotees zu beschützen. Penibel ist nicht das Wort, also exakt. Im Nektar der Hingabe gibt Rupa Goswami ein Vers darüber. Krishna sagte, du hattest versprochen, dass es immer 5 Pandavas gibt. Nicht diese 5 Devotees. Und am Ende der Schlacht von Kurukshetra, obwohl alle vernichtet waren, waren 5 Pandavas übrig. Ich sehe, das ist eigentlich Kunti, Rupa Goswami zitiert Königin Kunti. Ich sehe, sagt Kunti, dass du dein Versprechen niemals brichst. Es gab eigentlich 6 Pandavas. Einer war, wie viel dann? Das war der Kana. Nicht? Aber Krishna hatte versprochen, 5 Pandavas. Und die wurden, als hätte er eine Käseglocke des Schutzes um sie gebaut, wurden sie erhalten. War so verout, am Ende der, damit möchte ich jetzt enden, am Ende der Schlacht von Kurukshetra, sagte Krishna zu Arjuna, spring von dem Wagen. Und Arjuna hat sich gewundert, denn bis jeden Tag hatte Krishna als der Wagenlenker von ihm gehandelt. Und ein Wagenlenker geht immer vor dem Krieger runter. Verstehst du? Der Wagenlenker geht runter und hilft dann dem Krieger runterzukommen. Und diesmal sagte aber Krishna, ich bleib auf dem Wagen, geh du erstmal runter. Und Arjuna hat gefolgt. Und dann sprang Krishna runter. Und in dem Augenblick, wo Krishna runtergesprungen war, fiel der ganze Streitwagen in Asche zusammen. Denn nur durch Krishnas Gegenwart waren die ganzen Brahmastas, die Flüche, die über diesem Wagen lasteten, die unmanifestierten Waffen, diese mystischen Waffen, und all das war abgewehrt geblieben, nur durch Krishnas Gegenwart. Aber als er runterging, das dauerte nicht mal, sondern viel kürzer ging das, weil Krishna den Devotee einfach beschützt hat. Er hatte das versprochen. Er war beschützt worden. Gut. Dann wollen wir hier enden. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gaur Nitai ki jai, Sisi Radha Madan Mohan ki jai.